الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین اما بعد اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم پلیز ریپیٹ آفٹر می الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Please also repeat after me. نويت سنة الاعتكاف. My dear Islam brothers, there are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reported to have said, that indeed he who recites Durood-e Pak upon me the most will be closest to me on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. What more do we want? What more do we want? We all want to be close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The renowned commentator of the Quran, Mufti Ahmadiyar Khan Nahimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated in regards to this blessed hadith that the most peaceful person in the hereafter will be the one who is in the company of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. And the source of obtaining the blessed companionship of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam is by sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala. So we should all make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. We should not waste whatever time we have. Sometimes we have a lot of time where we're waiting for something. We're waiting for a job. We're waiting for a customer. We're waiting to be seen. All this waiting time should not be wasted time. Use this waiting time by sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, the extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islamic brothers, it is stated on page 16 of a 165-page book named Riyakari, which is translated as the Ostentation, published by Maktabat al-Madina, the publishing department of Dawat Islami, that a person humbly asked in the court of our beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, what will help me attain salvation on the day of judgment? What do I need to do to attain salvation on that day? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam replied, do not be dishonest with Allah azza wa jal. Do not be dishonest with Allah azza wa jal. The companion replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how is this possible? How can a person be dishonest with Allah? How is it possible that we can be dishonest with Allah azza wa jal? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is when you carry out a command, you carry an act, when you do something that is a command of Allah azza wa jal, or a command of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you do it not for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, not for the pleasure of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you do it for the pleasure of others. And that person, he will be the person who will be dishonest on the day of judgment. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, protect yourself from this. This is called ostentation, showing off. By showing off that I'm doing something just to show off to people. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protect yourself from this, because this is a form of shirk. On the day of judgment, the ostentatious person will be called out in front of the people with four names. O evil one, O deceitful person, O disbeliever, or the one in loss. May Allah Azza wa Jal spoil your deeds and destroy your rewards. There is no share for you today. O deceiving one, go and seek your reward from that person for whom you performed your deeds. If you perform your deeds for somebody else, go and get the reward from that person. If you perform your deeds to show off to such and such person, go and get your reward from that person. My dear Islam brothers, we need to think about this. From this narration, we can see that if we perform our deeds to show off, then we will be deeply ashamed on the day of judgment. Our nafs and shaitan, first of all, doesn't let us perform good deeds. It's hard. We all know it's hard to perform good deeds. Yeah? Shaitan doesn't want you to perform good deeds. Your nafs doesn't want you to perform good deeds. But then, if you can overcome that, if you can overcome the whispers of Shaitan, if you can overcome that nafs inside you that doesn't want to do it, then Shaitan doesn't give up. Then what he'll try to do, he'll make you try and do it for a different intention. That you're doing it to show off to people. You're doing it for that you know, so that you can tell people that I'm such a pious person, I'm such a great person. You tell people that, you know, I fast. Other than the month of Ramadan, I make voluntary fasts. I pray the Hajjat. I do so much zikr. I recite so much Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I carry a tasbih around me so that people can see how pious I am. What is your intention, my dear Islamic brothers? If your intention is to show off to somebody, to show such and such person that you are pious, then go and get the reward from that person. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that, go and get the reward from that person on the Day of Judgment, you will not get the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we need to ask ourselves, we need to carefully examine what we are doing on a day-to-day basis. I'd just like to quote a few ayats of the Quran, the translation of a few ayats of the Quran regarding this topic. It is narrated in the Quran in Surah Hud, verse 15. And I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. Whoever desires the life of this world and its pleasures, we shall give them the full reward for the deeds in it and will not make any reduction of it. In regards to this particular hadith, it is said that ostentation, those people that are showing off, are given the reward of the good deeds in this dunya. And they'll not get any cruelty, they'll get it in this dunya. If their intention is here, they'll get it here. And we need to ask ourselves, what is our intention when we do things? In another verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 264, I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. O you who believe, do not invalidate your charity by boasting of a favor and causing injury, like the one who spends his wealth for people to see and does not believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and the last day. His example is similar to that of a rock covered with dust and hard rain fell on it, leaving it as a bare rock. They shall get no control of it. They'll not get any benefit of anything that they've earned. And Allah does not guide the people who disbelieve. With regards to this verse, Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Murabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has stated that the way a hypocrite does not aim to get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he wastes his wealth by spending it on showing off. Similarly, you should not waste the reward of your sadaqah by expressing your favors and hurting others. And with regards to the verse, it talks about that the hard rain is falling on a rock. The rock, all that happens is the dust is removed, but the rock remains the same. It doesn't go soft. It doesn't absorb any of the water. It just remains the same. We need to ask ourselves, what is our intention? We see that unfortunately, I was at one masjid where the Imam Sahib on the Friday prayers, he made an elan. He said that for the last 5 or 6 weeks, I've stopped making elan of those people that I've given money. You know, when you go to the masjid at Jummah time, they say, oh, such and such body is given £20, such and such body is given £30, such and such body is given £40. And he said, rather than me making them elans, rather than me making them announcements, I thought it was better because at that time, the masjid is full. At that time, it is better if I teach somebody. If I teach a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I tell somebody a certain masail, if I tell somebody a certain problem, the solution to it. So I thought it's better to use that time. But unfortunately, the masjid funding has gone down. Because he's not making an announcement, the masjid funding has gone down. My dear Islamic brothers, on the Day of Judgment, everybody should be worried about their own deeds. Because that is a critical time for us. We may think that we've got a lot of deeds. We may think that we've done well in our time. We've read our namaz 5 times a day. We've gone on hajj. We've performed during the month of Ramadan. We've done our best. And so maybe we might start feeling comfortable. I'm okay. You know, I'm doing okay. But if our intention isn't right, and on the Day of Judgment we find out that we've got nothing. We've got nothing. We've got no namaz. We've got no zakat. We've got no hajj. We've got no Ramadan. We've got nothing because we did it for the wrong reasons. We did it so that we could show off to people. So we need to ponder over this. Do we perform our good deeds to do the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? Or do we perform good deeds to make the people around us happy? So that people will think we are good. When we give money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, do we do it to please Allah Azza wa Jal? Do we give money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal that maybe this money will remove the sins that I have committed?
Allah will forgive me for the sins that I've committed if I spend in the way of Allah. If I perform this extra prayer, maybe Allah will forgive me. Is this my intention? Or is it that I can show people that I'm such a generous person? You know, I build masjids back home. You know, I've dug out a well back home. I've done this and that back home, yeah? So people think I'm such a great person. Allah, we heard from the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and get your reward from that person then. So we need to be very careful and we need to really reform ourselves. We need to change ourselves. We need to change how we think. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing something wrong. We don't even realize that this is a problem, that we're doing anything wrong. My dear Islam, this is why Dawat Islam is here. The Madani environment of Dawat Islam is here to try and make us think differently. To think as a Muslim should think. Not just dress as a Muslim should dress. Not just look as a Muslim should look, but think as a Muslim should think as well. And that is what this environment is here. By coming to these weekly shishtamas, by traveling in the Madani kaflas, then inshallah, your mindset, as we call it the Madani mindset, you'll have a Madani mindset and you'll start to think as a Muslim should think. I'm just going to quote a few hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to this topic of showing off, ostentation. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that when any nation adorn themselves with pious deeds meant for the hereafter, just to get the status for the purpose of worldly gain, then their abode is the hellfire. So if we do any good deeds for worldly gain, if we do any good deeds so that, you know, I can get a better business, or, you know, if I do something good, people think good of me and they'll get close to me, and then I can do this and I can do this and I can get this position and I can move up politically, or I can get this business going. If I do it for any worldly gain, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you perform them good deeds, they may appear to be good deeds. I might look at them, we might look at them and think they're good deeds, but if you do them not for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, then your abode is the hellfire. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that Allah has made Jannat haram for the people that have this ostentation in them, that show off the good deeds. Jannat is haram for them people. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala once saw Sayyidina Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala weeping, and he asked the reason. And Sayyidina Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala replied that I've heard this hadith from the Blessed of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, that minor ostentation is shirk. Performing deeds for the pleasure of somebody else, not for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, is a minor form of shirk. There is another hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that the fragrance of heaven can be smelled from a distance of 500 years. But the one who desires the world with the deeds of the hereafter will be denied this blessing. If we perform our deeds for the pleasure of people around us, then we will never smell Jannat. And the smell of Jannat can be reached for 500 years of traveling, but we will never smell it. So how far away from Jannat will we be? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said that whoever performs a deed for obtaining fame, if you do it to become famous, if you do anything to become famous, Allah azza wa jal will humiliate him. And whoever performs a deed for showing off, Allah azza wa jal will punish him. My dear Islamic brothers, Allah Akbar, we can see how serious this act of ostentation, riyakari, showing off is. As virtuous deeds, whatever deeds we do, they're not accepted. One who is involved in this illness will not attain paradise. He will be humiliated on the day of judgment owing to ostentation. A good deed will be rejected as a result. No reward will be given to him. Instead, the deeds performed to show off will not cause Allah's pleasure, they will cause Allah's displeasure. Allahu Akbar. What is ostentation? We've given some examples, but we need a definition. Because this is an illness in the society and we need to protect ourselves from it. On page 66 of the book, Call Towards Righteousness, which is 616 pages, published by Maktabat al-Madina, the publishing house of Dawat Islami, the definition of ostentation has been mentioned. And it says, to worship with any other intention other than the sole pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. To worship, to do any good deed, because any good deed is a form of worship. Any good deed is a form of worship. To do it with the intention of pleasing somebody else and not pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, this is ostentation. This is riyakari. This is showing off. In other words, ostentation is to worship with the intention of impressing people with that worship so that ostentation person can acquire financial benefit, or favors from them, or be praised by them, or be considered pious, or treated with respect by them. So if I, you know, do extra nafil prayers, you know, after the Isha prayer tonight, yeah, we're all getting ready to go, and I'm sitting there praying extra nafils, and you might think, wow, you know, this guy is really pious. Yeah, what a pious person is he? Yeah, we're all eating, we're all going home, and he's sitting there performing all these nafil prayers, yeah? But as soon as you walk out the door, nobody's here. Okay, I'm off now. Because I was only doing it to show off to you. Yeah, I don't, if I was, because these sort of acts, these acts of ibadah, you can do at home. I don't need to do them in front of you. Yeah? So if I really am sincere, then I should do these acts at home when nobody's watching. So I'm going to give you some examples now. Some examples of riyakari, some examples of ostentation. Remember this, my dearest one brothers. That if somebody, the example I just gave you now, if somebody is doing something, yeah, it's not up to us to look into their heart. Yeah? We shouldn't say, oh, he's showing off. Yeah? We shouldn't say this. We shouldn't even think this. Because to be suspicious of somebody is also a sin. Suspicion is also a sin. So if somebody is doing something, if somebody is doing extra ibadat, if somebody is spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, if somebody is doing extra nafils, if somebody is doing extra fast and we find out about it, and even if that person is telling me, then it's not up to me to decide whether this is riyakari. It's not up to me to decide whether this is ostentation. Yeah? We should not have suspicion. You know, there's two things, suspicion, yeah? And there's a term called husn-i zan. And what husn-i zan means is having a positive outlook on things. To think positively about somebody. So if you have suspicions about somebody, there is no good in it. You'll not get any benefit. If you are suspicious of someone's actions, if you are suspicious of what somebody is doing with their money, if you are suspicious of what people are doing on a day-to-day basis, you will not get any benefit. But if you have a positive outlook, this husn-i zan that I said, and think good about that person. That if this person says to me that, look, you know, I'm fasting, you know, I've just done this nafil fast for the last couple of days. Our thought should not be, he's doing it to show off. He's showing me that, you know, how pious he is. No, our intention, because listen, suspicion is no benefit to me. Our intention should be to look at that person and think, well, he's telling me that, so maybe, you know, yes, it is possible to fast during this month. These days aren't that long. So yeah, if he can do it, then I can do it. Yeah, we should take it as a positive output. If we see somebody spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then we should think, okay, well, maybe I should do it as well. He's maybe trying to make me think that, you know, I should do this as well. If he's doing extra nafils, then, you know, and he's doing it, and I'm stronger than him, I'm fitter than him, then I can do it as well. So we should always think positively about somebody. Don't ever be suspicious, because there's no benefit for you. So in suspicion, there is no benefit. And having this positive outlook, there is no harm. If you have a positive outlook of somebody, and always think good about that person, there is no harm for you. Examples. To learn the art of recitation of the Quran, to impress people so that people will call you a qari. If you, you know, we have the Balaghan classes where you can come and learn to read the Quran with tajweed. If you come and attend that class, so that after once you've learned it, you can go home or you can go places and you can recite the Quran, and people say, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, you know, you're a qari. MashaAllah. If that is our intention, if my intention is to learn the Quran and to improve my recitation so that people will say, oh, mashallah, subhanallah, what a beautiful recitation. Then there's no reward in that. And that again is riyakari, that is ostentation. To maintain the voice and other rules of recitation during ishtamat according to the number of attendees so that they will get impressed. So that if there's a few people here, and I'm reciting a naat, and if there's a few people here and I recite it with a low voice, but all of a sudden there's 500 people here. So now when I'm doing a naat, reciting a naat, I'll recite it, you know, a little bit more extra strength inside my voice. You know, I'll get a longer one, and I'll show people that I'm a really good naat khwan. Or when the talawat is at the beginning, yeah, and people, depending on how many people, if there's a lot of people here, I'll make the talawat a bit longer, I'll raise my voice up, I'll pause at times, you know, I'll show people that I'm a good qari, I'm a good naat khwan. Yeah, this again is a form of ostentation. To use demeaning words on oneself, such as, oh, I'm a very sinful person, you know, I've committed so many sins in my life, you know, I've done no good in my life, I'm not a very good person, so that the other person thinks, oh, wow, what a humble person this is, yeah, he's so humble, yeah, I know that this person, he reads his namaz 5 times a day, yeah, and he goes to the masjid all the time, but he's so humble, yeah. So if my intention is so that people will think I'm humble, I'm such a, you know, a that sort of a person, then again, this is a form of ostentation. If you meet people with intention, again, this is all on intention. Everything's to do with intention. These acts are not wrong. To recite a naat with Allah is not wrong. Yeah. If you tell people that you are a sinner with the right intention is not wrong. Yeah. But we need to ask ourselves, is my intention correct? What is my intention? If you meet people warmly and politely, yeah. If I meet you and I hug you and I give you a hug and yeah, mashallah, how are you? Yeah. So that people will say, mashallah, he's such a good person, such a well-mannered social person. Yeah. He's socially well-mannered person that he meets people really nice. If that's my intention, yeah, that people will think this about me, then I am wrong. Subsequently, if I meet people with that intention that look, you know, they come closer to me, we're brotherly love and this and that, and that is my intention, then there's nothing wrong with this. So again, the action is the same, but the intention is different. To say such sentences to impress others, that, oh, I'm very scared of committing sins, I'm in constant fear of losing my iman, you know, what will happen to me in that grave, you know, how can I face Allah on the Day of Judgment, yeah? Now, there's nothing wrong with these statements. But if I say them with this intention that people will look at me and think, oh, he's such a pious person, he's got so much taqwa, he's got so much fear of Allah that he's constantly thinking about the grave, he's constantly thinking about the Day of Judgment, you know, what a pious person, what a good person that person is. If my intention, when I say these statements, is that people will think this about me, this is a form of ostentation. To utter such sentences, to give the impression that I am pious, you know, that I'm like a Sufi type person. Oh, I don't associate myself with rich people. I don't associate myself with these big people. I'm a Sufi type person. I just keep myself to myself, you know. And if that, again, it's again your intention. What is your intention when you're saying these things? You know, when you meet somebody who has a problem, who is ill, and you have a sad look on your face, yeah, and you have a sad look on your face so that people will think that you're very kind-hearted, yeah. Again, why have you got that sad look on your face? I mean, you are genuinely sad. You can be genuinely sad. There's nothing wrong in having this sad look. May I make this clear? There's nothing wrong in having this sad look on your face. But if this sad look on your face is for dunya, you know that if you go to a namaz-e-janazah, why are you going to a namaz-e-janazah? You know, and you see it many, many times, that when there's a namaz-e-janazah, yeah, the masjid is full. Yeah. But half an hour later, when it's Zuhr Salah, the masjid is empty. Half an hour later when it's Asr Salah, the masjid is empty. Why is namaz not farz upon you? Why are you reading that namaz in janazah? Are you reading it to please that person? Yeah, if I don't read my namaz, if I don't go to the namaz in janazah, what will you think about me? Yeah? We should be reading it to gain the reward. The reward and the pleasure of Allah. We should be going there so that we do the dua for this deceased, so that deceased person can benefit by you going there. Not so that people will see me and know that I am there, and everybody know, brother came, yes, I saw him at the namaz-e-janazah, mashallah, he gave time, he left work for a few hours and came to the namaz-e-janazah, what a nice person, what a pious person, what a good person he is. That should not be our intention. To hold a tasbih in such a way, you know, if you're holding a tasbih all the time, and you've always got this tasbih, and you're always doing it, and you're always moving your lips, so that people, mashallah, he's always reading Durood-e Paak, always doing zikr. If your intention, again, there's nothing wrong with this, if your intention is to show off, that I'm always doing zikr, then this is wrong. But if your intention, again, if you are holding a tasbih, and you are reading Durood-e Paak, and you're doing it in front of people, and trying to make them realize that they can also do it, with a good intention, look, I can do it, you can do it as well. Yeah. Don't waste this time, we're walking from here to the car, whilst I'm walking from here to the car, I can recite Durood-e Paak 100 times. Whilst I'm walking from here to home, I can recite Durood-e Paak 300 times. Whilst I get in the morning and I'm going to work, I can recite the Durood-e Paak 300-400 times. If this is my intention, to let people, you know, to encourage people to do it, then there's nothing wrong. But if my intention is to make people think, oh, what a nice person, what a pious person, what a nek person he is, that all the time he's got a tasbih in his hand. Allahu Akbar. To disclose your own good deeds, yeah? To tell people your own good deeds, and with the intention that people relate them. You know, it's unfortunate that nowadays, as Muslims, we always remember our good deeds. Oh, I went on Hajj in 1973. I went on Umrah in 1982. I sat in Itikaf in 1999. During Ras Ramadan, I read 10 Quran Paaks in the whole month. Yeah. We remember all our good deeds. But unfortunately, we don't remember our sins. We don't remember the sins that we committed today, but we can remember we went on Hajj in 1983. We can remember that we went in Itikaf in 1999. We can remember all these things that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. Can't even remember the sins that we committed today. And then we tell people.
Yes, I went in Hajj in 83, 86, 92, 94.
Oh, Allah's blessed me that I've been able to go on Hajj every year. Okay, what is your intention in telling people? Why are you telling people? You know, okay, I'm not saying it's wrong, but why are you telling people? Is he telling people that, mashallah, what a pious person, that every year he goes on Hajj, every year he goes to Medina, subhanallah, subhanallah. Yeah, what a great person he is. To relate one's own religious services. This is mainly for the mubaliks of Dawud Islami. You know, if you say, oh, you know, I've done 3 bayans this week. Yeah, I give dars every day this week. Yeah, I did Lakai Dora, I've been doing Lakai Dora, Neki Kidawat every week. You know, I go on a kafla every month, I do this. And you're doing it to impress people. Yeah? Then you're not doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. To inform others, some people that are religious, you know, if you are an imam, or you know, hafiz, or you're a scholar, then some people, what they do is they use this. Yeah, when they're going to buy something, they'll say to the shop owner, oh, I'm an imam, I'm a hafiz. Why are you telling them? Or maybe you get the price cheaper. You know, and again, so what is your intention in telling these two people, yeah? You know, you go and buy something, oh, I'm a hafiz of Quran, I'm an imam, yeah? So that the person will give, oh, mashallah, okay, I'll give you cheaper. Mashallah, okay, I'll give you this. You know, what is our intention? Are we showing up by telling people, I'm an imam, I'm a hafiz, I'm a scholar, I'm a qari? By telling this to people, then again, we need to ask ourselves, why are we doing it? Allahu Akbar. You know, again, to tell people the number of hajj we've permitted, to tell people the number of umrahs we've done. Yeah. These are all forms of ostentation, all forms of riyakari, all forms of showing off. So we need to be very careful about this. Again, worshipping, going back to the definition of ostentation, worshipping with the intention other than seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is called ostentation. So we need to look at ourselves. We look at our deeds. Sometimes you might think to yourself, well, Lord, he's right, you know. I do a lot of things. Yeah. Like, for example, I'm here doing a bayan now. Why am I doing a bayan? Yeah. And maybe I'm doing a bayan so that afterwards I will say, oh, what a brilliant bayan. You did really, really well. Okay. I'll stop doing it then. I'll stop doing bayans. I'll stop giving dars because I can't get that outside of me. This again is a shaitanic whisper inside you. Because shaitan doesn't want you to do any good deeds. So now all of a sudden shaitan's going to get you a different way. Now that you know about the illness of ostentation, shaitan's going to say, hold on a minute. You can't protect yourself from this. You know, you can't get away from this illness. It's better don't do it. Don't do the good deed. Don't spend in the way of Allah's wajah. Don't perform the hajj that people are seeing. Don't do it because you can't sort out your own intention. And because you can't sort out your own intention, it's better not to do it. No. If you've got an illness, you know, if your hand's hurting, you don't chop the hand off. You treat the illness. You don't chop it off. Yeah. So we need to treat the illness. We need to sort ourselves out and find out the ways of it. What are the signs? First of all, we need to find out and ask ourselves, have we got this inside us? What are the signs of ostentation? Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that there are 3 signs of an ostentation person. Number 1, he is lazy in performing good deeds when alone, but he's active when he's in front of people. At home, when it's Isha, at home, it's 4, 2, 3, go to sleep. Okay? But in the masjid, oh, we've got to read all the sunnahs, got to read all the nafls because everybody's here looking at me, yeah? I don't want people to think I just read it quickly. So again, he is lazy in performing good deeds when he's alone, but he's very active when he's with people. Number 2, signs of that person who has, you know, these are for ourselves. Again, like I said, we should not look at other people. Don't use these to look at other people. Just look at yourself. He increases his deeds if he's praised. MashaAllah. You've been fasting during this month. He's fasted extra days. MashaAllah. I'll do more. I'll do some more, yeah? He's praised me. I'll do an extra few days of Nafli Roza this month as well. Yeah, I'll do an extra few Nafls tonight as well. He decreases his deeds if he's criticized. If you criticize for doing something, yeah? For example, if for example somebody, and it's wrong, if you were doing extra prayers, and somebody says, oh, you're only doing it, it's a show off, yeah? And you think, okay, I won't bother doing it now then. What is your intention? If your intention is to do it for the pleasure of Allah, then if someone criticizes you, you should still do it. Because you're not doing it for his criticism, you're not doing it for his praise, you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah. So if someone praises you or criticizes you, you should carry on with the good deed. And unfortunately, these are the examples. So we need to ask ourselves, do we fall into this? Time is going short. We're getting to the end of the Ijtima. We're going to look at the cures. What is the cure for this problem? What is the cure for ostentation? First of all, we need to ask ourselves, have we got this inside ourselves? And I think if we really ask ourselves, we'll find out that we have it. To a certain extent, it will be inside each and every one of us. First cure, dua. Dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, cure me from this illness of ostentation. Fill my empty begging bowl with the immortal wealth of sincerity. Make me sincere. Ya Allah, make me sincere. Ya Allah, I have this illness in me. I have this problem. But I keep looking to others for their, you know, praise. I keep on looking to others for them to think that I am so good. Ya Allah, please remove this from me. Ya Allah, bring this ikhlas inside me. Bring this sincerity inside me. Number two, never remain heedless of the harms of ostentation. Always be aware of it. You come to an ijtima of Dawud Islamiyya, you will always be, you know, at the beginning, we always say to you, make an intention. Make good intentions. Make good intentions so it can increase the rewards. So we always need to be aware that this disease, this illness, or whatever you want to call it, it is there. This thing can affect us at any time. So we need to move this from us. We need to also, the third cure is to remove the causes of it. What are the causes of ostentation? If we can remove the causes, then we won't get ill in the next place. You know, they say prevention is better than the cure. Prevent yourself from getting this illness and you won't get the illness. So what are the causes of this illness? Number one, desire for fame. Number two, fear of being condemned. Number three, greed of wealth. These are the causes. If we can remove this inside as the desire to be famous, to be looked upon, we need to bring sincerity inside ourselves. Be sincere with ourselves. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, O people, perform deeds with sincerity. For Allah azza wa jal accepts only those deeds performed with sincerity for Him. And do not say that this deed is for Allah azza wa jal and for the sake of relationship. So we need to do, whatever we do, do it for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. Do it with sincerity. Do it to please Allah azza wa jal. We are all in need of good deeds. We're all in need of making that bank balance so that we can protect ourselves on the day of judgment. But who is a sincere person? An imam once asked, who is a sincere person? A sincere person is he who hides his good deeds in the same way he hides his sins. That's very important. You hide your good deeds the same way you hide your sins. You don't go telling me what sins you've committed today, do you? You don't say to me, oh brother, I was looking at that woman when she was walking down the street. You don't say to me, oh, I've been gambling. You don't say to me, I've been drinking alcohol. You don't say that I've been drinking smoking pot. But you tell me what ibadat you've done. So in the same way that we hide our sins, we need to hide our good deeds as well. Protect your intentions. Deeds are based upon our intentions. We need to protect our intentions. We need to refrain ourselves from the satanic whispering whilst performing worship. Because shaitan is not going to be happy with you. One, he doesn't want you to perform good deeds. That's the first problem. Yeah. The second problem is when you do perform them good deeds, shaitan is going to say to you, oh, why are you doing it? And he'll try and convince you, or you want to do it because you want to make him happy, you want to make him happy. And then what will happen is, once you realize that, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be doing it to get pleasure, and get praise of this person, then I better not do it. So again, shaitan's always on your case. He's never going to give up. My Islam brothers, today we've learned just a little bit about this illness called ostentation, riyakari, showing off. And we need to, again, most importantly, remember this, don't look at other people. Don't be suspicious of what other people are doing. Just look at yourself. This bi'an is for me. I did this bi'an today for me. And you should be listening to this bi'an for yourself. When you go home tonight, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Okay? And one of the best ways to save yourself from riyakari, to save yourself from ostentation, is to get the Madani Namaz card. In that Madani Namaz card, you're asking yourself on a daily basis, did you read your namaz? Did you do this? What were your intentions? And if you look at the Madani Namaz card, the very first Madani Namaz is your intention. What is my intention? Did I make good intentions before I performed any good deed? Not only to gain extra reward, but also to save yourself from the sin of ostentation. Madani Namaz about showing up, telling people how good you are. So if you fill in that Madani Namaz card, take that today, read it every day. It'll only take you 10 or 12 minutes to read it. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, that will help you to rectify yourself. Save yourself not only from the sin of ostentation, but other sins as well. And another way to protect yourself, because alhamdulillah, you've come to the ijtima today. You know, within this half an hour beyond, hopefully we've learned something. But just think what we would learn if we traveled on a three-day Madani Kafla. But if we're traveling a Madani Kafla for 3 days, then inshallah, azza wa jalla, we'll learn so much more.
So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah Azza wa Jalla first and foremost give me the ability to protect myself from this illness of riyakari, of ostentation. And also all of us to protect ourselves from this illness and to pass this message on to others so that other people can benefit me as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala
Muhammad. May you keep the same.